Such a simple message, trust and obey. But it's often very difficult to do. I'm not going to say that it's something that people can easily attain to, but there are things that happen in our lives a lot of times, and sometimes things do gang up on us, and it can be difficult at times. But we need to trust and we need to obey. That's the key, to obey God and to do what it is that He wants us to do. After hearing what Sue had said to pray for our congregation and all of the things that we as a congregation are going through, which to some may not seem significant, but there are times where it's difficult where there's only a few people. I was sent something, and some of you may have already read it. It was something that was posted on the ALC page, something that a good friend of mine and had sent to me after we had been dealing with my dad and what was going on down in Florida. And it has to do with the fact of things that happen and the things that sometimes can become very overbearing, and it can become very, very tiresome at times. I'd like to read it. It starts out a little comical, but I think you'll get the message. It says, a new pastor was attending a men's breakfast in a rural area. He asked one of the impressive older farmers in attendance to say grace that morning. After all were seated, the old farmer began, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye and wondered to himself, "Can you imagine that? What's going on here?" He's wondering to himself where this is going, and then the farmer loudly proclaimed, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was worried. However, without ceasing a beat, the farmer prayed on, "And Lord, you know I don't care much for raw white flour." And just as the pastor was ready to stand up and stop everything, the farmer continued, "But Lord, when you mix them all together and bake them up, I do love fresh biscuits." So Lord, when things come up and we don't like, when life gets hard, when we just don't understand what you're saying to us, we just need to relax and wait till you're done mixing. And probably it will be something even better than biscuits. Amen. I did post that on the page and got a lot of comments. And it's such a positive message. It's so positive. There's things that happen in our lives that we go through that we just plain do not understand. There's things that we have to deal with day in and day out, and at times we'll ask the questions, "Why, Lord? Why is this happening? When is it going to end?" But the whole key, and as it says here, that we just need to relax. Sit down, take time, and reflect on how good God has been to us. And reflect on how good and how wonderful that He has been. And reflect on the gifts that He has given us. He's never promised us an easy time. There's not one thing in the scripture that promises us an easy life as a Christian. As a matter of fact, more often than not, it talks more about a tough time because of what we believe. And down through history, those who believe in Christ and those who have faith in Him have been having to deal with the difficult time and people trying to keep them and making fun of them and so on, like we read in the Second Corinthians. So it's not an easy time to go through. In this particular text, which is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, it's a chapter two, and I'm going to begin with verse 23 and reading through 28, and then go into chapter 3 and verses 1-6. But reading it in Jesus' name, "And it came to pass that when He went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and His disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisee said unto Him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful. And he said to them, Have you never read that what David did when he had need and it was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil? To save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, having grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that you would open your word. That, Father, that through these lips would come your word and the message that you would have us say. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Pharisees were constantly trying to trap Jesus, if you will. But the crazy part is they had all these rules and regulations and they didn't follow them themselves. In 23rd verse, and it came to pass as he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of the corn. The Pharisee says, hey, you know, why are you doing this on the Sabbath day? It's not lawful. Well, that's not true at all. If you look in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, there's two things that people were allowed to do. Actually, three, because whoever owned the field could go through and harvest it. But they were required to leave the outer edges standing. And those who owned the vineyards were, as they went through and harvested, were required to leave a certain amount. But even beyond that, they were also required not to pick up the grapes that had fallen on the ground, so that they could be used to those who didn't have anything, and so that they would have sustenance and have food. And then in Deuteronomy verse 23, or chapter 23, verses 24 and 25, it says that if you're traveling and you go into a neighbor's vineyard or into a neighbor's cornfield, you can pluck and eat. You can't put any in a bag. You can't take any home with you for tomorrow. But you can take off the stock to satisfy your hunger. But you cannot take a side to it. In other words, you can't cut any of it down. Because in that, it's harvesting. These rules were put in place. One of the studies that I was reading made this comment. I can't find anything in the scripture to back it up, but I'll tell you what it said. It said that these particular rules were put into place as far as the Sabbath day is concerned, because this is what the Pharisees were trying to get Jesus in trouble for. They were put into place so that the farmers wouldn't go through and harvest during the Sabbath. So that they would not, and then the words that were used was that they would not become greedy and overwork their workers. That the Sabbath was a day of rest, even as the Pharisees here were trying to tell him. So immediately they're kind of twisting the law a little bit. They're twisting it around to kind of fit their needs. And of course, Jesus knew this. He knew what they were up to. So he goes along and he says, haven't you ever read what David did? And he goes on to explain how David had gone into the house of God and went into the synagogue there And he ate of the bread that was there that the high priests were only supposed to be eating of, because they were hungry. And he gave some even to his entourage or to his people that were following him. It wasn't lawful them to eat it, but there was an immediate need. But it wasn't lawful according to who or according to what? Was it lawful or unlawful according to what God would desire, or was it unlawful according to what the Pharisees decided it should be? The point is that David was hungry along with his people, and there was food, and he ate it. Jesus wasn't harvesting. His disciples were not harvesting. They were just filling their bellies. They were hungry. This whole time, or this whole thing, was a fabrication of the Pharisees trying to get Jesus in trouble. There's even more that goes on in this time. But then he says unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not the man for the Sabbath. There, down through time, there's been a lot of arguments. There's been a lot of things that have been said about the Sabbath and how we're supposed to follow it and what we're supposed to do. In the New Testament times, it's not as strict as what it was. But God ordained the Sabbath for a day of rest. Now, not only was it a day of rest for mankind to rest from his labors, but it was also a day of rest so that he could focus on God and what God has done for him and through the blessings that he has given him. You got 6 days to go out and work. The seventh day, he wants you to rest. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody, but, you know, there's times you're sitting in the chair and Sunday afternoon you're thinking, boy, it sure would be nice to go out and do something. And it's sometimes pretty hard to keep from doing it. Is that right? I don't know. Is that wrong? I don't know. But the point is that God should be the focus, and that there should be physical rest for each and every one of us. Now, some will say that, well, it's Sunday, you're not supposed to work. Well, there are some jobs that require it. You have no option. It's required of you to work that Sunday. However, you do have time off during the week, as a general rule. They may split it up. They may say, well, you get this day off and skip a couple days and get a couple more. But the point is that you will get some time off. You treat that as your Sabbath. A little hard to do in the middle of the week to be able to sit down and no one else is around and you're having to try to sit there and rest. It's not easy. And God understands that. He knows that. But at least focus on his word. When you get up in the morning, focus on what he has done. Pick up the scripture and read it. Spend some time in his word so that you can be nourished by it and come away from it fulfilled with what it is that he wants you to have. He says, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, this is something that really got him upset, because he's putting himself in a position of God. The Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Well, God is the one who gave the Sabbath, so how can you tell him that you're Lord of the Sabbath? It was just something else that got him upset. But you see, Jesus was trying to teach him something, and trying to teach them who they are to follow and to just put aside all of this stuff that they were so mixed and caught up with. And he's telling us the same thing. Don't be so focused on what you have in this life. Don't be so focused on all of the material items and all the material things that you have. Take some time out for me. Take some time out so that you may worship me and that I may be able to bless you. He goes on now in chapter 3 and he says, he entered again into the synagogue and there was a man there which had a withered hand. This is one of his miracles that he'd done. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. Can you just picture it? Here these guys are sitting all, you know, in this certain area, wherever it is they sit, and, you know, they're poking each other and kind of whispering behind their hands, and, hey, you know, let's wait and see what this guy does. We'll get him this time. We'll nail him. They watched him. And I imagine they watched him quite intently. And they wanted to know if he would heal on the Sabbath day. Now, this is another area where they weren't even following their own rules. Because the Jewish law, or the law at that particular time, stated that you could heal, or you could take care of anybody if their life was threatened, even on a Sabbath. It was an immediate need. There's another one that so often is quoted by fellows that I used to work with, who didn't really take any time off for church. But they said, "Well, my bull is in the well. I got to go get it out." Well, I guess you could make that excuse for just about anything. And Scripture does say that. You know, if the animal that you have falls into a ditch or whatever it happens to fall into and he can't get out, that's your livelihood. The animal that you had, the bull that they call it, or a bullock, or whatever the term you want to use, that's what was used to grind the grain. That was what was used to haul the carts. That was what was used to till the fields. It was an important animal. If that thing's in trouble, you've got to go and help it. If a life is threatened, there's an immediate need there. There's something there that needs to be done. So right away, they're wanting to nail him. Hey, what, you know, he's trying to do, you know, he wants to heal this guy. And Jesus asked him, he says, is it better to do something good on the Sabbath or something evil? You could ask yourself really that question for any day. Is it better to do good or is it better to evil? If you see a need of someone outside of your immediate family, immediate house, immediate work, and you see a need that really, if you don't help at that particular moment, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. They're just not going to get helped out. That's something good. Fulfill it if you have the ways and the means to do it. I read something in the paper the other day. This one lady had just gotten back, I believe it was from overseas, and she didn't have enough money to pay for her baggage, to get her bag. I don't know if it was to get it on a plane or get it off or whatever it was. And this guy stepped up and gave her $50 so she could get her bags. It was an immediate need. It was something that he could do because there was a need. Do you think that person is going to forget that? Not a chance. Not a chance. Do you think that person is going to tell everybody? Well, it was in the paper. The point is that there was a need that was there and it was met because the person had a way of doing so. Jesus asked them, is it better to do something good, or is it better to do something evil? Is it better to save a life or to kill? But they held their peace. They couldn't say anything. And they continued to just watch him. Now in verse 5, he says something interesting. He says that when he looked around about on them with anger. Not very often you hear that written about Jesus. And he was grieved for the hardness of their hearts. They could have cared less about this guy with a withered hand. They didn't care about him any more than they cared about the wind blowing. All they wanted to do was entrap him. They didn't care about the individual. They were more concerned about themselves. Jesus was not happy because of the hardness of their hearts. And he said to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Can you imagine how that must have felt? Actually, to those who were there and witnessed it, but to the man himself. Here he's got a hand that's all, and we've all seen it at some point in time where somebody's got a limb or a hand or something that's all withered or just isn't right. Can you imagine standing there watching it and then all of a sudden it's whole? It's there like it should be. The Pharisees could have cared less. Right away, oh, he did something wrong on the Sabbath. We're going to get him now. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. The Pharisees and the Herodians did not like each other. They were not friends. The Pharisees were scared to death that Jesus was going to take away their importance, their financial kingdom. They're scared that he was going to just take their jobs away from them and they're going to be like the common folk. The Herodians, they were scared that Jesus was going to start a new kingdom and that he was going to be the head, the boss man. You see, they wanted to try to get Herod's lineage back into power. And so they did not want this Jesus around because of what they believed him, what his mission was. So you get two people that don't like each other, and right away they take counsel to try to how to get away with him. And it says right in the last part of that verse, how they might destroy him. Well, just that alone is totally against Jewish law. Completely, totally against Jewish law. They're not supposed to kill. And here they are plotting his murder. Oh, the sinfulness of man, the wickedness of man, the excuses that mankind can come up with to make everything seem to be okay and make everything to seem to be right. And we as believers have to watch that because we are susceptible to it. In fact, I think there are times where we may even be more susceptible to it. From this respect, we know what's right and we know what's wrong. And we all have a weakness in a specific area. The devil knows what that weakness is. And believe me, he will use it. And if God allows, you will be confronted with that weakness. If God allows it. So we are constantly having to turn to him for the strength to withstand and the strength to stay away from whatever it is that we are experiencing. And there's times where it'll get to be pretty tough. There's times where it'll get to the point where Satan, God has allowed Satan to kind of badger you, if you will, and constantly be throwing these darts at you. And there's times where you just have to get down on your knees and cry, God, please make it stop. And he will. And he does. But oh, we have to constantly be fighting and constantly turning to him for the strength to continue on and the strength to endure. So let's not forget that God is always mixing, as we read. He's always mixing about, yeah, there's things that are going on in our lives. He's mixing all of this up. But in the end, when everything is said and done, when it's all over, we will have a glorious and a righteous home in heaven. Because that is what his ultimate promise is. That home will be in heaven because of our faith and because of our belief and because of what he has done for us. So let's just relax. Let's just kind of let him do his mixing. And take it from me, it's not easy. It happened just about a week ago. There were a lot of things going on, and I remembered this, and I read through it, and that part about relaxing hit pretty hard. And you know, it was a lot easier. It was a lot easier to put up with all of the things that I was going through at that point. And I was able to just kind of sit back and just let it go. And just give it off. And up and it's just, it's, I won't say it's easy, but it sure has been a lot easier. And just trusting that God knows exactly what I need. He knows what I need to have, but he also knows what I want. And sometimes what I want isn't what I need. So he knows me best, and he knows what to give me, even as he knows each one of you. In his name, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask, O Lord, that you would continue to be with us. We pray, O Father, that we would constantly be looking to you, and that indeed, as we have read and talked about, that we would indeed relax and just let you do what it is that you do so well, that we would trust in what you have done. Even as the songwriter said, that we would trust and obey, and the key is obey, that we would wait on you. Lord, we thank you for that, and we ask that you would now bless us and keep us, that you would make your face shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.